Blog Talk Radio.
The following is intended only for mature audiences.
Radio. Hi, this is Karen Ashley. I am here with my gang of misfits. We love it. On the line with me today and every day is the wonderful, the impressive, the amazing Jeffrey Emmett. How are you, Mr. Jeffrey?
I am fantastic. I feel like Cheryl Crow, and I'm soaking up the sun. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. And then also with us today is our favoriteest singer of all time, is Mr. James.
What's up?
Mr. Lip. How are you?
I'm good. I'm busier than ever this week, it seems, but I'm getting it all together and getting ready to go away for the weekend. So.
Very awesome. You know, what I heard a fourth voice. Did I hear a fourth voice, or was that just like a surprise to me?
Oh, that was a fourth voice. Filling in for Miss Katrina is my wonderful and lovely personal assistant / daycare assistant / our call screener / over on Unscripted Radio, Christina Marie.
Hi. You forgot / your bitch / go do this / go do my laundry / go wash my bathroom.
Okay,
we
so
need
it's
to
true.
Call you /
you know,
I text this bitch.
Come after that.
You know, like I don't know.
I'm in bed this morning and I get a text message saying, "All nice, you know, dinner the other night was on us. You do so much for me and Joey," and I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And then following that text message, so let's talk about McDonald's breakfast. I'm like, this bitch.
Well, and the thing is, I wanted her to drive all the way or fly to L.A. to bring me McDonald's breakfast. And the thing is, you know, obviously she's in New York. So
you
it's very, 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 very sad that she couldn't drive all the way here to bring me some McDonald's.
He expected it. That's the thing. This man is crazy. He expected me to get up out of bed. Just go buy plane ticket. Be like, can I go get a plane ticket to wherever this crazy bitch is at and bring him some breakfast? Really? taking care of his house, taking care of his dog, taking care of, I don't even know. I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Oh, my gosh. That brings up a good thought to me because I've been in a place where I've had friends and we, you know, work together, or maybe like you're kind of that friend who's the go-to friend who can help out. Like if I need someone to help with a party, or if I need someone to help me figure something out, you know, it's always a one friend that you know will go stand in the DMV line with you. I mean, there's always that one friend who will help you no matter what. How do you tell that particular friend, you know, you're asking for too much? If there was ever a time, not saying that you're in a position, or maybe you are. Maybe I'm setting you free, Christina. /
Are you crazy? I tell him all the time. Usually I cuss him out to high hell. I'm like, you're freaking useless. I hate you. You're a pain in my ass. And then 2 minutes later, what do you want? I'll go get it.
Right, okay, so it's probably in you to just do that. You're kind of that person who wants to help and always wants to please.
I really am. As much as we joke around and can scream at each other, and Lord knows we've had our blowouts in the past, he's been a friend of mine for a million years. We went to school together. We hung out at the bar together. It's like, I really wouldn't do anything for him.
Right.
I really would.
Right. But let's just say there was a situation where Jeffrey wasn't so appreciative, because I know Jeffrey, you know, he may ask you for something, but I also know, like, you guys have a lot of fun together, and he does a lot for you, you do a lot for him. It's almost a two-way street. But he may ask you for a little bit more. When is it, how do you tell a friend, you know, okay, you're asking me for too much. I don't want to be that many slashes.
Bitches don't come over for a week.
You just disappear? You do that friend, no show?
I have had a history where I don't know, maybe I'm just tired, or maybe I just don't want to go hang out, but after a couple of days, I'll get a text message that says, did you die? Which translates to, where the hell are you? I need something at the store. But,
right.
No, I have no problem, I guess. I guess really, though, if you want to talk seriously about it, it depends on the kind of relationship you have with the friend. With Jeffrey, I'll just flat out tell him, listen, Mitch, I need a break. Hold the hell on. But we've known each other forever. But if it's someone that maybe you're really good friends with but you're not that comfortable with, that's a good question. How do you tell him, okay, you're asking me for too much? That's a very good question.
And I buy her nice things.
Okay.
Preferably liquor and food.
Liquor and food. Liquor and food goes, and I'm happy.
I was going to say, because that's one thing Jeffrey does do, because I know for a fact he will feed you and he will get you drunk. I know about 100 people who can attest to that. Jane,
that's
the issue.
That's a prerequisite of my friendship.
Right.
If I can't get drunk with you, if I can't get drunk with you and you don't feed me, I don't want to be your friend.
Right, that's true. That's true. Because I will say this, Jeffrey, every time I talk to him, I make fun because I'm like, you always have a house full. Like, Jeffrey always has a house full, and he's always, like, cooking and always, I mean, it's like, he feeds the world. You could spend the night. He's like, he reminds me of my friend Jennifer. Like, her and her sisters, they're the sweetest girls ever because you can live with them. You can spend the night with them. You could probably drive their car. They'll feed you. You know, they'll do whatever they can to help you get back on your feet. It's like they're those girls. Like, every time I talk to them, they're helping someone out. And it's
okay,
the most beautiful thing.
Now that we're on the subject of friends driving cars, Jeffrey.
I got nothing to say.
Yeah, okay, so what happened was, as Katrina would say, we were working at the bar in Syracuse, and I may or may not have consumed too much alcohol to be driving, so I didn't. Came home with somebody else. Downpour rain. I think a typhoon blew through Syracuse, New York at this time. I don't think anything of it. I wake up the next morning. I go outside to go get in my car to go somewhere. Lo and behold, I have a flat tire. Not only do I have a flat tire, I don't have a tire. I have a rim.
What?
I'm like, Jeffrey, you drove the car home last night, you. Did it feel funny to you? Well, look, it was bouncing around a little bit. I may have gotten a flat tire. I said,
bitch,
you come outside, please.
You are screwing this story all up, sorts of wrong.
Because I hate screwing up all sorts of wrong.
No, I called you when you were still on your way home or at your booty call's house or wherever it was you is. And I said that your car is busted, your shit was broke, and I was not changing a flat tire in a monsoon. So your shit on the rim.
He drove my car, which mind you, it was a 1993 Toyota Corolla, and something was wrong with the transmission. I don't know. You had to downshift it to get it to go. It was automatic standard. And Jeffrey's the only person that could ever get that car to cooperate. So he drove my car from Syracuse, New York, to Auburn, New York, which is about a 40-minute drive, 20, depending on who's driving, all the way home on a rim.
On a rim?
All the way home on a damn rim. We had to go to this place. This is a nice place. We should have took Katrina here when she was in New York. It's called Pick and Pull. It's a junkyard, so basically you get discount parts. So if you miss
a junkyard, she really thinks there's two barrels of hay and a Wegman.
Karen, they took me in one, and we had to pull a tire off a car. It was like the worst experience of my life. And, of course, I brought to-go beverages. And maybe I think I had another kind of treat that maybe resembled a cigarette but wasn't. This was years ago. And we're in, like, you know, could you just picture, like, you're in the junkyard surrounded by cars everywhere and you're just kind of lighting up and just like, hey, let's hang out in the junkyard because I can't go anywhere right now because I'm drunk and... Yeah.
So I would recommend, the moral of that story is, let your friends drive your car, but have them sign a waiver or something before they do it. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just saying.
That is funny. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, there's some things that, I mean, okay, so how did you take that? When you knew that he drove the car on a rim, and now it's
she
like
was
there's
proud of me
damage.
Because
huh?
she's like, I would have died. She was proud. No, let her lie about it neither.
I was. I said, listen, I said, I'm glad that
situation.
I would have gotten stressed out. I have the anxiety that goes through the roof.
Uh-huh.
And I would have gotten stressed out. I probably would have been drunk on the side of the road crying, looking for Jesus, and that would have just been it. But Jeffrey, he held it together, drove my car home on the rim, and I still had the car for another few weeks till I crashed it into a tree. It was good.
The pick and pull fixed the tree crashing is what I need to know.
I don't, you know, I want to go to pick and pull. I think when Jeffrey gets back from his trip that we need to go to pick and pull to see if my Toyota Corolla is there. I'm curious.
Oh, okay. Okay. That is hilarious. Oh, my gosh. So, James, you never got to weigh in on the whole friend thing when you have a friend who may ask for a little too much, or maybe you're the friend who, you know, kind of has a friend / in your life. How do you tell someone? Are you honest?
He got
or?
A friend. He got a friend.
You know what? I got friends like that they can ask me for a little too much, but I'm definitely kind of like Christina in the fact that I am very much a people pleaser.
Oh,
and
do you want to move to New York?
I would love to move to New York and get the fuck out of Missouri.
Aww.
So, but like I have friends like that I will, you know, come hell or high water, be there for no matter what they need. You know, that's just the kind of person I am, and I hope that I would have friends like that would do the same thing for me. And I do have, like, my friend Caitlin, bless her heart, on 2 hours of sleep, went with me to the X Factor audition and stayed there all day with me throughout the whole process. So
that's a true
friend. Like, right. So it's like I know that I have those people that got my back when I need them, and they know that I have theirs. So.
When I went to audition for Idol, I had to be dating these people for them to go with me. None of my friends wanted to go. I had to be sleeping with them, and all of a sudden, oh, then they'll go with me. Bitches.
Well, and like when I auditioned for Idol, like I went by myself for that, you know, the whole day being there by myself. I made friends very easily with people.
Oh, it's
because,
easy to
like,
make friends there. It's so much fun to make friends there. I had the best time ever.
Yeah, I did too. And it didn't matter that I didn't make it. I was just like, you know, this was fun. Mm-hmm. I made some good friends out of this experience, and it's something that I can, you know, talk up to experience if there's a next time. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Tara, what about you?
Well, I have, you know, this is the thing. Like, I had a friend who at one point, you know, was, like, near and dear to me and just basically, you know, was a definite help to me because I had moved back to L.A. and essentially moved back and started over completely. Like, I mean, it's, like, completely, you know, because I had stepped away for about 3 years. Well, it was supposed to be a year. It ended up being 3. I come back, and I literally have to start all over. And so this friend was amazing, you know, and I ended up, you know, staying at their house and, you know, and they didn't live at their house, you know, they lived at their house only part of the year. So for me, it was a really great situation because I literally was there by myself most of the time. I remember at one point towards the end of my stay, I felt like anything she'd ask me to do, I'd be like, heck yeah, gotcha. So it ended up being one of these situations where she would just, like, kind of, it was around Christmas time. She was sending things, like, she'd buy presents or something, and she would just send them. But she wouldn't tell me that she sent them. She would be like, or she wouldn't even, you know, like, when you send something, you can pretty much figure out when it's going to get there, or you can at least go, it'll be there in the next 2 days or whatever. She kind of would just send things randomly and then wouldn't remember. Like, she wouldn't send me tracking numbers. She wouldn't remember when it was coming. So then I would just get a phone call and be like, are you going to be home today? And I was like, yeah, possibly. And most of the time, I was like, at this point, I was kind of running around, shifting around, looking for apartments, you know, getting ready to transition. And she'd be like, well, I need you to wait for this box. And I would literally be like, are you serious? And so you never knew when FedEx was coming. So a couple times I did it because I felt like, okay, well, absolutely. But I couldn't stay there the whole day. Like, there was just no way I could sit around and wait for FedEx.
I called in the plane.
You know FedEx, there's no rhyme or reason. They may come early, they may come late. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Right. So, Mm-hmm. One of the boxes in this time period, like there might have been seven boxes, one of the seven came up missing.
Oh,
and
no.
It ended up being a day that I had to, like, go. I had to leave. Like, I told her, like, I was like, well, look, I got to go this day. I got to go.
What?
I can't sit around and wait for seven boxes. And, like, each box arrived on a different day over a
period.
Wait.
Did I miss it? Were you staying with her?
Yes, I was staying with her. And her.
Okay.
I was at her house. But she lives bi-coastal. Like, she was in Boston, and then she has a house in California as well. So I was staying at the house in California when she was in Boston. So one day she was like, well, this box is missing. And I was like, look, I can't stay here for, you know, 14 days straight waiting for boxes. Like,
wait,
I had to go.
To the
right, I had to go one of the days. And she was, I was like, well, do you have the tracking number? And, of course, she did it. And so I was like, it became my fault that this box ended up being missing. And I felt so bad. But I also felt like, hold up, like, your system isn't even, like, I know when I send things that are of value, I'm going to have a tracking number, I'm going to have a confirmation, I'm going to have it to where people have to sign. If it's that important, you know, someone should have to sign. Like, a lot of times I would be, like, we have this amazing house, and a lot of times I would go down to the gate to leave the house, and there would be a box sitting there next to the gate, and I'd be like, are you kidding me? They wouldn't even call up, and, like, she didn't set it up to where they had to have anyone to, like, sign for it.
So basically she was just depending that who cares about the tracking number, who cares about having someone sign for it. Karen going to be there, so I don't have to worry
about it.
That's
It was one of those situations where I really had to, like, kind of check her and kind of, like, set her straight and be like, look, I would do absolutely anything for you. You know this. But it's within reason. Like, you can't blame me for something that you didn't send, you didn't get the tracking number for. You kind of willy-nilly sent, and then you just would call me randomly and go, oh, did this arrive? Like, I'm supposed to know something's coming. Like, you got to give me a heads up. I'm, like, a busy kind of girl. So, I mean, I've been on both ends where I felt like I wanted to please her in a new way because, obviously, I'm staying at her beautiful home. But then at the same time, I'm kind of like, I don't know that there is any pleasing anyone.
there are some parts, they are hard to please in that aspect where you do so much for them, and then it's like, you know, it's just, I don't know, that's just crazy. I'm sorry, if I order a pair of socks off Amazon.com, I got the tracking number and I know when it's coming. That's just crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think there's always that fine line in friendship where it's like friendship is ever-changing, and it's such a challenging thing to juggle. It's almost worse than a relationship. Because your friend, you will tell them almost anything. You'll do almost anything. But then also, friends don't always appreciate other friends. Like, there's always that level of lack of appreciation that kind of will rear its ugly head every now and then. Or, you know, I know Jeffrey. I mean, you've gone into business with one of your friends. You know, on Scripted Radio, you know, that's like a tough juggling thing. And we've heard arguments on the air from you and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So I know friendship's challenging. How do you feel about the whole subject?
Wait,
no
me?
Comment? Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got this. I was trying to, somebody was coming to the door. You know, I always try to tell my friends how much I appreciate them, how grateful I am for the things they do, especially before I give them their next task, you know? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm so grateful that you just did this. So, but now can you go do that? You know, like, there's things to do. We don't have time for you to just sit around and not do anything. Like, we got to hustle, you know, asses and elbows, kids. We got things to do, people to see, reality shows to shoot. And that's why, as I'm just thinking about it now, you need to send us your money.
There it goes.
Because we still need some money for editing, you know. Now that we're here and everything. Frankly, again, I told you, could somebody please go send $25 to the Indiegogo thing or go onto our website and donate, because I need a car charger while I'm here in L.A. right now. I would appreciate you to send me $25 so I can go to Verizon and give me a car charger for my iPhone. I'm just saying thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And I just, you know, on that note, what Jeffrey said about the whole friendship thing, I guess for me, it's like I've known him for so long, and I know that the reality show and the radio show, these are things that he's talked about for years. Like, wouldn't it be cool to do this? And wouldn't it be awesome to do this? And then when the radio show started last year, I was like, oh, my God, he's really doing this. And then it took off so good, and y'all got the reality show going. And it's like, so I think it's borderline friendship and, you know, he's my friend. I love him as my friend. It's like, you know, I'm really proud of him. And I, you know, if you're this close to somebody, you really want them to succeed. And I just feel like if he needs help with something so he can focus on the radio show, or if he, you know, when he's home, if he needs me to come over and help watch the kids so he could be on a conference call with either you or Katrina or somebody, you know, I just feel like so he can succeed, so he can do something that he has really wanted to do most of his life, I feel honored that I can help in that aspect.
Yeah. Aww.
That's really nice.
And now I'm going to grow up because that was my nice for about the rest of the year.
Right. So, you know, this is the thing, though. I've been in both situations where you have, like, a little idea, and then all of a sudden the idea starts coming to fruition, and then you really start trying to make it happen. And when you kind of go through the phase of, you know, doing something and then actually starting to succeed, and it, you really start seeing it happen. Jeffrey, have you had any of the opposite, like any of the haters or someone who's kind of been like, you know, kind of like, you know how they almost say misery loves company? Now you're in a really great place. You're like, woo, we're about to, you know, we're doing a, you know, this, we're doing that. We're going into editing. I mean, it's like an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, Jeffrey? Are you still?
Rich, are you drinking? What the hell are you doing out there? Wake up.
Oh.
I think I don't know what he is doing. Someone, I think, is at the front door. Maybe he got distracted. So this goes to you, Christina and James. James, have you had, I mean, obviously you have really tried to pursue your career in singing. You've gone to X Factor. You've gone to American Idol. I mean, you are on it. Like, you're doing everything you can. Have you had haters, you know, who possibly have seen, you know, your YouTube videos and they're like, ah, no, he isn't. You know, or now you come on to the radio show. You come on often enough to where you're, you know, you're not just a listener, you're part of the family.
Right. Honestly, I think more in my personal life, like with family, I've had more haters than positive people, you know, surrounding me on my goals. And right, like, and honestly, I look at them like, you know, you're just jealous because, and I'm not saying this to sound conceited because that's not who I am at all. Like, but it's like, you're just jealous because you didn't get this opportunity when you were my age to do all the things that I'm getting an opportunity to do now. So it's like, you know, I take what they say with a grain of salt. I don't let it get to me. People on YouTube, if they leave bad comments, I delete them and block them. And it's just like, I don't let it affect me to the point where it's going to keep me from continuing what I love to do. Cause this is something that I love to do. I love to sing. I love to write. I love to be on the show and to be a part of this family and to have the experiences that I'm getting now. I'm not going to let anything stop me. My haters are more of my motivators than anything else. So
amen to that.
Amen to that. You know what's so funny? You brought up an even better point. You said most of the people are family or really close to you. Those are the ones who are hating more so. That's crazy. It's how it is. It really is.
Uh-huh. Well, it's funny because I've heard the saying, people that hate you are the ones that love you the most. People that hate on you are the ones that love you the most. So they're the ones that are like, even the ones that are out there on YouTube, they're listening to it and they're liking it and they're jealous because they're not as good or something like that. So it's like, that's why they're hating on it. They love it, but they're just like, I have to knock you down because you do this better than I do, and that's not fair.
Right.
I've almost the complete opposite, just with things, you know, I've not been on the show in a while, but for you guys to know what I do, but you know, I'm in the same boat. I do the singing. I do the acting thing. I've tried to pursue it. And I've actually had the opposite happen to me. When I grew up, not to be like, oh, this was my life, what was me, through school and everything, I used to get teased a lot. Being a little overweight, and I'm a girl, I'm proud to say it. And when I would sing in like elementary school, middle school, people would pick on me so bad. like to the point where I almost wanted to stop. And it's like when I got into, you know, my junior and senior year of high school, and then, you know, as I got older, auditioning for Broadway shows, auditioning for professional local theater, and just trying to get myself out there, all of a sudden, instead of it getting the haters, I would get people that used to give me so much shit in school coming out of the woodwork. Oh, hey, girl, how are you? How's this? Oh, you're auditioning for this? Did you do this, this, and this? So it's like it's almost the complete opposite, where I don't get
right.
the people hating, but I get the people that used to hate that now, because I'm trying to do all these big things, they want to be in my life, because it's like, you know, I wonder what they think they're going to get out of it.
Right.
They think
wow.
that they're going to get something out of it because, oh, we were really mean to her, but if we're nice to her now, because maybe she's going to get this big part on Broadway, or maybe, you know, this is going to happen and she's going to get her big break. And it's like, what are you trying to prove? You really think, after all these years, you giving me shit and telling me I'm a fat ass and all this crap and saying I can't sing, I'm going to get somewhere and you think you're going to get somebody? You crazy as hell. You better
right.
find somebody.
Said all these right. years, you calling me a fat ass.
I'm just saying.
No, you know what? You bring up a very good point, Christina, because think about this. I go through junior high, you go through high school, you know, and then this is my life. You know, of course, high school, people are going to hate you, people are going to love you. It's just high school. There's always going to be someone who's going to hate you and just want you, like,
you know.
Why does she live? Right, yeah. It's always something. I always say high school is like, it gets you prepared for the world, because there's always good, you're going to go through the good, the bad, the ugly. Sometimes even college just carries over in college for some people.
Oh,
so think about
or
this.
Even into your everyday life, it carries on,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, where you're just, like, kind of the outcast, and you're not really, some people are just lacking social skills. Me, luckily, I was kind of a social butterfly, but that doesn't always work in high school. Like, it's like people go, she's wanting too much attention, or, you know, because there's always, like, high school breeds jealousy, I think.
Girl,
so,
I was the
right.
best thing in lesbian. They thought I was crazy as hell. Hello?
So it's like anything that sets you apart is going to get you talked about, going to get you, at some point you think you're going to get jumped, or you might get jumped in the hallway. I mean, it's just horrible high school story.
Uh-huh.
So imagine getting a television show,
and
then you run into these people, and they,
so unprofessional, but I have another call, so I'll be right back.
No worries. The people.
I'm so sorry. It's my stepdad.
You just gotta easily exit out like Jeffrey did. We didn't even know what he went to go do. You don't have to announce it, honey. So anyway, imagine this. You get a television show, and then you come back home, and these same people are now trying to be your friend. And you know it's only because you're on TV, and they're like, and now, get this, now I run into these people, because I don't know what it is about Dallas, because I'm from Dallas. And I just see that when I go home, I run into everyone. If I go like certain places, I run into everyone. And Dallas is not a small town. That's a huge city. And I run into everyone. And they're like, girl, can you sign this for my son? Can you come to my son's birthday party? And I'm like, bitch, first of all, you never talked to me in school. I think you tried to rally to have me jumped. In 11th grade, I think, I remember it was you that put some dirty note in my locker, you know, or whatever, like, you know, you try to fight me over a boy, and now you want me to come to your son's birthday party? Are you kidding me? I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, I just kind of have this look. My sister's like, she's got the look. This person probably tortured me in elementary, and now they want me to be a mascot at their child's school, and, like, I don't even know what they want me to do.
So my question is, what did you do? Like, I know what I would do, but I think I know what – I don't know. What did you do? Did you go to the school? Did you sign the autograph?
No, I don't even know. I would be like, you know what I'll do? I'll pull the card of, you know, like, usually it's at an inappropriate time or place. Like, we're at the gym, and I'm on the treadmill running mid-run, and they're like, can you sign this autograph? And I'm like, no. Or my sister, I love her. She'll jump in, and she goes, can't you see we're busy? Like, she'll just be like, when she's finished, she'll comment, like, but I kind of get the look on my face. And so she immediately knows. Because if it's somebody I know, I will jump off the treadmill, be like, oh my gosh, hi, how are you? You know, it's like I will remember someone from preschool. And
yeah.
if I like them or they were nice to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, so happy to see them. But if I'm kind of
yeah.
like, hi, she kind of knows the vibe and my sister will step in and say something. I've never been so rude, but one girl was like going on and on and on and on and on while I was taking a kickboxing class and was asking me to come to her son's birthday party. And finally, it was funny because this other girl that I was friends with was in the same kickboxing class, and she's kind of looking at me like, didn't this girl hate you? Didn't she, like, try to fight you or something? And that was great. I mean, it was, like, really funny. I think we had a fight. I think we did fight. And so I just finally said, look, I don't do birthday parties. I'm not a clown. I'm not a work for hire. And although I was on a children's television show, it doesn't mean that, you know, you don't see, you know, Tobey Maguire walking around in his Batman or his Spider-Man costume. I was an actress. It was a part. I got paid. I'm done with that. Like, I just was like, so drop it. Like, I'm not going to your son's party. And then she kind of, like, said something else. And I go, were we friends? Were we even friends in school? And when I said that, it all stopped. And she was like, I've only done that to one person. I wouldn't be that rude because I'm actually, even people I don't like, I'm actually, I don't know, I get so like, oh, I feel bad when I'm rude to people. I didn't feel bad at all. I was like, you're being a jerk. Like, you hated me. Hated me. Like, I think you wanted me dead. And now you want me to do something for you. And it's only because you feel like, you know, I was on a children's. It's because, you know, her kid loves me. And I'm like, see, you never know where people end up.
Exactly.
So what would you have been nice to?
So, Karen, are you saying you won't come to my 25th birthday party in Vegas dressed up as the Yellow Power Ranger for me?
I am saying I will not. Sorry.
Damn.
I am saying that. Thank you. It's funny because Steve Cardenas and I were texting one day, and we had said something about someone had made, like, I guess someone, a friend of ours, which I will mention no name, goes to a lot of conventions and made a ton of money at one of the conventions. And I was like, how do they do that? Like, I just kind of go and I'm just like, you know, but, and you do make money at conventions because obviously the convention's set up to where you have to, you know, sell autographs. And a lot of times the person that's having you at the convention, you know, you either they are getting a, you know, it's like almost like an agency fee or whatever. So, I mean, you have to sell something or whatever. And then, so needless to say, or sometimes they'll provide you with the pictures, so then you really have to sell them because that's the point of the convention, giving them to you. So needless to say, I was like, I've never made that kind of money at a convention. And he goes, what you got to do to make that kind of money is you got to show up in your suit and you got to take pictures. And I go, oh, well, then I guess I'll never make that kind of money. And he was like, yeah, me either. He was like, yeah, I guess we're just gonna be broke. I'm like,
see, that's the difference between you and me, bitch. Because
yeah.
if it was a case of making $5,000 versus $15,000, I'm making the numbers up hypothetically. I'm just saying, bitch. Can I tell you how fast my ass would be in spandex?
This is true.
Doing the Christina chasing the ice cream truck jog. Hi, morphin time. Let's boogie with the bear. Sign
he would be the gayest Power Ranger I've ever seen in my life. I just want to throw that out there. Just
oh, my God.
He's
that's
a rainbow ranger.
You didn't wear that suit every day.
Jeffrey, I would pay money to see that.
I like money.
Awesome.
And if all I got to do is put on some stupid outfit to make some people happy, like, that are going to pay me extra money, bitch, I'm going to wear the outfit. I mean, I'm going to be fucked up.
You know when it drew the line for us? Because really, like, we were on an amazingly huge show. It was an amazing experience. But at the end of the day, we kind of went into it. We were all actors. Like, we wanted to be actors. We didn't go into it going, I want to be a superhero. So it wasn't
right.
like
no,
that at home. And so for us, like, I remember going on the Today Show, and we had a huge fight with the powers that be because they wanted us to wear the suits on the Today Show. And the entire cast, we band together, and we were like, no, this is our one moment to be ourselves and to be actors. Because it's weird, when we put on the costume, people would consider us to be almost like a cartoon character. And so we were kind of like, no, we want, this is, like, we're on the freaking Today Show. We're sitting next to Katie Couric and Matt Lauer. And, like, at the time, that was when Katie Couric was on. I was like, I want Katie Couric to know who I am, not who the character is.
Right, right.
So we band together, and it was, like, this big uproar. And we were like, we are not putting on those suits for the next week. And then 20th Century Fox was like, but they told us you guys would. We were like, we will not. We didn't. We stood together, we band together, and we wouldn't wear them. And we were, like, so proud of ourselves.
They're probably they're probably heavier. With those big suits, they just look uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're, like, 40 pounds, like, the one they wanted us to wear. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it was so bad. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But needless to say, you know, he's right. I probably could make more money if I put it on.
Hello. I'm saying, here's the thing. It's like me doing drag. You just do it. But fuck you, because, bitch, all you got to do is find somebody that's your height and put them in the fucking suit and pretend it's you.
Oh, yeah.
How is that? No, they want you to be standing there with them. Which you want the helmet off.
No, you got to tell them no. Look, you can only keep the helmet on. And then have somebody put, like, their iPhone on speakerphone in the helmet so it sounds like your voice is coming out of it. You just got to be crafty.
Yeah. No, trust me. They want more. They all want more. You're going to see. We're going to Morphicon tomorrow, and you will see how they all want more. It doesn't end with just, like, an autograph, a hug. Somebody will push the boundary.
Right.
Oh, God. I can't. I just have this feeling y'all are going to go to Morphicon tomorrow, and I just have this vision of Jeffrey ending up in a Power Ranger suit. I don't even know. I just have this vision.
Unless they have
scared.
That one that Bulk wore, I don't think there's going to be one that's going to fit my head in. Okay? There's not enough spank involved.
So there wasn't a plus size? I missed it. There wasn't a plus size Power Ranger?
No, and I do not think the pink Power Ranger, because I'm pink Power Ranger meat, I really don't think that pink suit is going to fit me none.
Yeah, I'm agreeing, man. You're going to need to
I think me and Amy Jo, I think, you know, though, I got to be honest, I think Amy Jo's a little bit bigger than me, you know. She's kind of a heifer.
Might be a little loose in some places.
Yeah, I'd have to get it taken down, taken in a little bit, you know. She's a big one.
Well, I definitely want to see some pictures from this weekend, because I feel terrible because I can't be there. I want to be there with y'all.
Oh, I wish you could. I know. I really wish you could have been here, because it's been a roller coaster. I mean, we're down two people. You notice that Katrina and Mike are MIA. Katrina, I think, is passed out from partying last night. And Mike, who knows? There's like a whole journey we've gone through on this trip. So,
oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And all I will say is there may or may not be a certain co-host that's not here in rehab. I'm just saying. It could be true. It could not be. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going
to
say somebody
wait.
Tried to burn a house down last night. I'm not going to tell you that, because I'm going to let you watch it on the show. If it happens.
Right.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Mm-mm.
There's a reason why we made Mike J put the deposit on the rental home on his card. There's a reason.
Yep.
Because let's just say sometimes alcohol and, you know, sometimes it just, you know, Mike J. Whoo.
Why do I have a feeling I'm going to get a phone call from Jeffrey in a couple days going, girl, I need you to go in my house. Go upstairs. There's my emergency checkbook. We all in jail. You got to come get up. I'm going to go see the site
Determine if she knows about my emergency checkbook. I would like to know how she knows about this.
Well, there was this one time. What had happened was, you don't need to know. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and if she didn't know about it before, she was just making it up, and you just proved that you have one.
Yeah, I really don't. So, Karen, I want to know, how does us talking about Friends end up talking about Power Rangers? What the fuck?
I don't know. How did we get there? Oh, you know what it
I
is?
Think you actually brought it up.
Yeah. I brought the story where the girl who wasn't my friend wanted me to, you know, come to her kid's party. And, yeah. Or
I think we become twisted
to where friends, you know, like people, like they start, because I asked, you know what, this is how it happened, because you, Mr. MIA, Jeffrey, I had threw you a question because I said, how is it now that your life is transitioning? Like you have this, you know, you have a radio show. Like, this
can I answer now?
A dream of yours. Yeah, hold on. This was like a dream of yours. And then you know, now your dream is coming true. And now you have this reality show. You know, these are all things that Christina said you've been talking about for years. And I said, so with that, you know, sometimes you get people like Christina who's so supportive and so happy for you, the congratulators. But then you also get the haters. And I asked you, do you have some haters now that all this is happening?
Yeah, I think my biggest hater, ironically, is Mike J. And the reason why I missed your question was because I actually had to, I heard a clunk in the bathroom, and he was overserved last night, as you well know, and he actually face-planted in the toilet bowl, so I just grabbed him by his hair and, like, you know, basically took his head out of the toilet and threw it up against the wall. I think he's fine.
Wow. I'm just snoring. I told you. There's a reason Mike J puts the deposit on his credit card. There's a reason. We insisted on that. Oh, well, yeah, okay. So Mike J's been the biggest hater.
Yeah, kind of.
He's a peculiar kind of guy, isn't he?
I think that's the word I've never heard to describe Mike in my life, is peculiar. That's different.
It's so, right? Because Mike is peculiar. Like,
he is peculiar like that.
Mike knows this. Like, me and Mike have had a roller coaster love affair. I don't know. Like, he loves me. He hates me. He loves me. I've just never had that kind of, you know, friendship with anyone. So Mike is a very, very peculiar person. He has a very interesting way of, he has an interesting point of view, I guess I should say.
Is it bad that I've never hung out with him when I've been sober? I've had to be drunk? I'm thinking
about this. The
truth
is coming out.
I'm really sitting here thinking, you know, in all the years I've known Michael, I really don't think I've ever hung out with him in a sober state. I really think I've been close to smash before I have to actually have a conversation with him.
Oh, that's funny.
Here's the thing, though. So, I mean, other than Mike, I mean, I can't really say there's been haters. There's been people that are like, oh, you got to do that fucking radio show. You know, people get frustrated because, unlike Mike, you know, starting this, like, he moved to a town where he didn't know anybody. He had one friend out there. He worked, went home, and watched Netflix. Like, that's it. You know, meanwhile, I'm in a relationship. I'm running a business. I was in the middle of moving. And then a wedding. So I've had a lot of shit going on. And to try to do this every night. And, I mean, Karen, like, you started off with, what, one day a week? And then it went to, like, two. And then to three. And then to four.
My schedule has not calmed down on any other front. Like, I am insanely busy. My boyfriend looks at me sometimes, and I don't think we've seen each other in 2 days. Like, I mean, it's crazy. My schedule's crazy. I literally am up every morning, 5 a.m., you know, and then I'm usually asleep by 10. But from 5 to 10, I am completely busy. Yeah, so it's like, and then to take on, like, my thought was when I started, you know, like you said, I'd take on, like, one day, I started doing it, like, one day a week, and then I started doing 2 days a week, and then it just went, all of a sudden, it just, you know, kept going more and more. It really was like, at one point, I was like, how are you doing this? Like, you don't have time. for anything, and now you're doing a radio show and possibly producing a reality show. What the heck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. And working on your own scripted TV show and all that other stuff that you got going on.
Yeah. I guess my
I don't know how you do it.
I don't either.
You are a Wonder Woman.
Moving back to town recently, before Jeffrey's wedding, I think, you know, I didn't have it back in my head when I moved back into town, what was it, a month or so ago, I don't remember. I didn't think that I would be as involved again with the radio show as I have been, but it's like, you know, I kind of like before I moved away again, that's what I was doing with the radio show. I got busy. I couldn't call in as much, so I kind of just dropped off the planet for me. But it's like, it's almost like, you know, people being upset with Jeffrey, oh, you can't hang out, you can't do this because you have the radio show. It's almost like if you want to hang out with Jeffrey, if you do want him as a friend, you kind of have to support what he does, either if that means calling into the radio show or getting in the chat room and chatting with people. Or, you know, in my case, it's like, you know, you need a hand. Do you need someone to fill in? Do you need an extra producer? You know, I'm not looking for the name and the fame and the glory because I'm going to do my own thing for that. But just, again, it goes with supporting him and understanding that, you know, he might not be able to go out to the bar all the time. He might not be able to do this. But, you know, we could hang out on the radio show and have just as good of a time because y'all are crazy as hell like we are.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, it sucks in New York because it the show's on at 9 o'clock. Like, it's, you know, it's when we're going out here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an early kind of go-out bitch. You know, I really prefer to go out about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get home by 7. Be there by 8. You know what I'm saying? So this show, like, I mean, before we started doing the show, no joke, I would be showered at 7, and I would be up in bed by 7:30.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't going to sleep at 7:30, but I would be in bed, like, watching TV or, you know, I was big, really, really big into my reading then, so I'd read till like, 10. And so I had to, like, not go to bed. It was devastating. So
when I moved away to Massachusetts 5 years ago, the Jeffrey that I knew was just getting up around 7 o'clock at night, was showered. He'd be in bed putting his shoes on because it's time to go to the bar and be there at 10 o'clock. So I come home to Grandma Moses, who's in bed by 7 o'clock. I'm like, what is going on?
Well, I got old, but I've taken notes along the way, and every fucking bitch that has given me shit about this radio show from day one is not getting a fucking dime. I'm sorry. You can call me bitter. You can call me an asshole. But if you've done nothing but give me shit, and all those bitches that said they were going to donate to the reality show and didn't, you ain't getting shit. Don't call me. Don't smoke signal. Nothing. I ain't coming to your stupid baby shower. I ain't coming to your wedding. I ain't getting you a Christmas gift. You can kiss my ass. Now,
and
the rest of you bitches, I'm going to see.
There's people that would expect that. I know some of these people he's talking about.
Well, of
and
course,
they
because they're like, oh, it's Jeffrey. Well, no, bitch, because you know what? When push comes to shove, especially the people that have been like, oh, blah, 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 and not once have they listened to the radio show. Not
exactly.
once. You
exactly.
can kiss my ass. It's been over a year and you couldn't tune in once. Kiss my ass.
I can say the same thing about some of my friends who have said that they were going to listen to the night that I first co-hosted, and I've tried talking them into listening to the show, and they're like, oh, well, we're going to call in and listen, or when I get my computer together, I'm going to get online and listen, and da-da-da-da, and they haven't done
that's
it
yet. That's
how
you really see who your friends are, who turned into your radio show. That's
especially like the nights that I'm like screening or whatever, like if I'm in the screening room or I'm in the chat room or whatever, those are the nights my friends want to hang out with me, and they're the ones they're texting me, and I'm like, well, I got to be home by 8, you know, so I can be a part of this, so I can be a part of the show tonight. And they're like, well, that doesn't give us much time to do anything. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, this is, you know, something I enjoy being a part of, and if you don't understand that, then you know, whatever.
Right.
If it got picked up next week. And we all had bankroll now.
Right. And
everybody'd
like,
be like, oh,
LA.
Let me call into your show. Can I get a job? Do you still need somebody to call in and help co-host tonight? Or are you still looking for a producer? Like, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
They're mad that they missed the train.
Right. We definitely have the list of people that we are going to ignore that phone call, and then we also have that list of people who we know that have called in, who supported, who have been, you know, above and beyond. I mean, let's face it, we're starting something from the ground up. So, you know, we definitely know our supporters, our congratulators and our haters.
Mm-hmm.
Know the difference between the two, which is sad
right.
to say. Sad,
mm-hmm.
sad, sad.
I'm glad
sad.
That I'm glad that I have this opportunity with you guys to be a part of the family and be in the show. Like, I wouldn't have imagined this a year ago. So
aww.
To be a part of the family
okay,
with you guys and
you picked up the phone.
Right. All you did was call us one day. We were like, we kept you. We were like, we love him. Fine. 8 hours. Bye.
You had me at sexual positions.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
I'm just
the
happy
because
when I moved back, you know, I obviously, moving back from Massachusetts, that means things were obviously not going well in my life. It is nice. It's nice to be back a part of this again. You don't realize how much you miss something until
mm-hmm.
you don't do it for a while, and then you do it again, and it's like, you know what? I really miss this. I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm happy to be here supporting my friend, and I hope he make bankroll and just be happy with himself because...
Yeah, I love it how they're all like, they're here for me. Like, all my friends, Christina and... Don't take this the wrong way, but bitch, ain't none of you here for me. You're here for Katrina and Karen. Let's get serious.
Oh, okay, I ain't gonna lie.
Look, Katrina left. I ain't seen none of these bitches. Like, it was rough there for a few weeks after the wedding. I'm like, all right, where'd everybody go?
You're out of visitors.
Honey, listen, it had nothing to do with Katrina leaving. It had to
no,
do,
I
we
know.
All had to go get liver transplants.
I'm just playing.
Maybe needed to recoup. Like me, I'm the type, if I would have had an event like that where it's like a wedding and everybody's over and everybody, like, for, like, nonstop for a couple weeks, once everybody would have left, I would have changed my locks and been like, y'all don't come back for at least 3 months. Like, I love having people around, but then I also like being, like, having my place to myself and, like,
mm-hmm.
I love it equally. Like, I love being alone just as equally.
Well, I mean, I like being alone too, but I think it takes me maybe probably a little bit longer than you. Like, if we're having a lot of fun, like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
right, like, the days before the wedding were just, I mean, completely insane and fun. Like, and, you know, like, that doesn't happen very often, you know, as we're all getting older. Like, it was different a decade ago when we were, you know,
yes,
just
absolutely.
Getting to that point. But, you know, it's changing now where everybody's got, you know, their jobs, their family, you know, people are getting married, having kids. Like, we don't get to
yeah.
just be crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Weekend or a week, you know. So, you know, I think I can handle it for like 2 weeks. And after like 2 weeks, then it's, you know, it's going to be time to stop.
Right.
And then I'm going to need me a little break.
True story.
Well, like, no, I'm 24, and I don't even go out with my friends like that very much because most of my friends are married and have kids and all that good stuff. So it's just like,
well,
I'm kind of left home alone on a Friday night. Kind of sucks.
Right, right.
That's
yeah.
another time I started calming down because I got with Joe. Right before I turned 24, and that's, I started calming down then. So I think that's, like,
mm-hmm.
around the age, like, 24, 25, when you're starting to, like, okay, all right, I've been drinking for, like, 5 years, maybe six or seven in some of our cases. Like, it's time to take a break.
Right.
I agree. I think because of the fact that we all got involved going out so young that, you know, when maybe some people that were our age at that time were just starting to go out, we were like, okay, we're done with this.
Maybe not L7 over there, but.
Well, but, you know, I sit there and I think about, you know, the times we would be at the bar Wednesday through Sunday. We get home at 5:30 in the morning after going to breakfast, get up the next night and do it again. For me, I had to be at a job at 7:30 in the morning in the summer. I was working at a summer camp. It's like I sit there and think about maybe an hour I got to sleep every night. I couldn't do that now if somebody paid me. I'm just too tired. I went out not long, it was like last week, I went out to karaoke, and it started at 9:30, and I'm like, wow, I'm tired, and it's quarter to nine, I hope I make it to 9:30. I stayed out till 1:30 and slept till noon the next day, because I was exhausted.
Well, and it's like, growing up for me, like, you know, 18 to my age now, it's like, my friends didn't really go out, I didn't really have a whole lot of friends to go out with, and...
Mm-hmm.
So I never really got to be rebellious. Like, I didn't get to be a rebellious teenager. So I'm looking more now to get friends that I can go out with and do things with now and actually be an adult and enjoy an adult beverage and get drunk off my ass and all that
stuff. No, James, don't be a Mike J. That's what
I'm
he
not
did.
Gonna be a Mike
he
J.
He waited like 25 to get drunk and crazy and, oy.
Well, okay,
he got crazy.
I've been drunk and crazy. I've been drunk and crazy, but I'm just like, I want to be, like, I want to have the people that I can go out with and do stuff with, and I'm very responsible with myself. Like, I know my own limitations, so I'm not going to push those when it comes to being out with anybody, and, like, I've just, in previous experiences of actually going out with
Wait, did you just say without being hot with somebody?
No, I would love to be hot with somebody. But I'm just saying.
You're talking about your whack job. You didn't say nothing about that. I know.
No, I'm just saying. Like I know my own boundaries, and I know where to stop and where to keep going, things like that. So it's like, I just need to be with people that will keep me in a place where I can still have my own limitations and know my limitations and not push those.
James, just go out and go past those thresholds. Just blow them out the fucking water. Baby, trust when I tell you, Mama did some crazy shit, and I got to a point where people were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, bitch, I'm fine. You want to make out?
And that's kind of what I want to do. Like, I want to have experiences. Like, I want to... And I know this goes against some things that I've said and what I believe in, but, like, I want to have the one-night stand and not regret it the next morning, you know?
Yeah, that's the catch-22. It'll never change.
I don't know you'll ever be there.
It just doesn't work.
Right, but you know what? It'll have to be with, like, maybe, like, a celebrity or something. Like, if it were, like, you know, who do you think is hot? Like, just name a person, anyone.
So many people.
Celebrity-wise?
Okay.
Yeah.
Derek Thieler. He's on a show called Baby Daddy on ABC Family.
Okay. So let's just say you met him and...
I would be all over that.
Yeah, and you had a one-night stand with him. That's the only time I think you'll ever could... Because it sounds like to me, like either... I would say this. Either you got it in you to have a one-night stand... Or you don't. And I'm one of the people who never did. So it's like, I thought about it. Like, I was like, I guess the only way it would happen is if that one person that you kind of go, oh, my gosh. For Jeffrey, if it were, you know, freaking, what's his name? What's the rapper that you love? Jeffrey?
Cool J.
Before that Cool J came in here, Jeffrey had a shot. He'd have a one-night stand and he would brag about it. He wouldn't regret it. It would. That's what I'm saying. It would have to be someone.
Well, I don't know, girl. Cause
either
I'm
on that
saying,
level that you
I run
do,
into LL tomorrow. I can't tell nobody. Joe will be very upset.
Well, see,
I mean,
that's what we need to do.
We
need to get me to LA so that I can have that one night stand with a celebrity and make that sex tape to make me famous.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It would have to be something in a situation that you're just like, wow, that person, wow. Like, I think that's the only way you would do it, not, because if you even have to say, I want to have that one night stand and not feel, you know, not regret it, then you're going to regret it. You're just not that person. You're not the one night stand guy. But I think in your case, it would have to be someone you dreamed about. That's the only way.
Am I gathering that y'all frown upon the one night stand?
That what?
Y'all frown upon having a one-night stand?
I don't frown upon it whatsoever. But I just said I'm not the girl. Like, I never could. I was never the girl who could do it.
I may or may not have had a couple in my day.
Double dozen.
But like I said, like, either you're the one-night stand person or you're not. Like, it's no in-between, I think.
Here's the problem. They always turn out as one-night stands in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this. I'm going to have me a good night. And then they just don't go away, and then I have to date them, and then they got to spend money on me and buy me shit, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so it really isn't a one-night stand. You keep them coming.
Well, it starts off as a one-night stand, but there's a few that have turned into relationships. But then I get bored with them and have to go find somebody new.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, kids, on that note, we are about out of time. We can talk about this tomorrow night.
Yeah, don't let Unscripted Radio be your one night stand. You keep coming back for more people.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Let Unscripted Radio be your guiltiest pleasure.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're catching up with us on our Instagram. Why is it so loud?
I don't know.
Blame that Mike.
I was thinking the same thing during the intro.
That son of a bitch and Mike J, that cocksucker.
Turn the volume down, Elma.
Good night, everybody. Hope y'all having fun without me. I miss you all.
Ranger Woods. I'm going to go. Here, come on, girl. Come pick me up in your car. Let's go get some LL.
I'm going to go get me a cocktail.
Ooh, yeah, let's go find LL. Exactly.
Girl, you know where he live at?
I don't know where he live, but I'm sure we can find him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, if you see my dream guy, give him my number. Jeffrey, you got it.
Yeah. If you see somebody with a big old breath, send him my way. I'll show him a good time.